Because I want to talk today on vision and the importance of vision. Do you realize the only thing Jesus ever prayed for? Oh, by the way, you guys can be seated. I don't know how long you're going to keep going there. But all I'm going to be doing is noticing the music, and you won't get my full attention. So give them a hand. Aren't they amazing? The only thing Jesus ever prayed for twice over when it came to healing, someone to be healed, was a person's vision. So if even Jesus had to pray for someone twice to have their eyesight restored, to have vision given to them, how important is it for us that we really pray that God gives us a clear vision? Remember the first time we prayed for him? He said, and Jesus goes, how's that? Imagine Jesus praying for someone and then saying, did it work? That's kind of what happened, if you really read it. And the guy says, well, I see men walking as trees. In other words, he's seeing things now, but he's not really got full clarity. So then Jesus prayed again. I don't know about you, but I'm going to take as much prayer as I can get for vision. Can you say amen? And I want you to think about this. You know, we need to make sure that we have more vision for our future than we do talk about our past. And our past is important. Our past teaches us, hopefully. Amen. But then when you drive a car, have you noticed how big your windshield is? And I want you to compare that to the size of your rear view mirror. You want to make sure your rear view mirror is not as big as your windshield. Because if your rear view mirror is as big as your windshield, you're not seeing where you're going. You need to have a rear view mirror, but we got to have a whole lot more vision than we do a past. And it can't be, oh, I remember back in 1983 this happened, and I remember in the church and God did this, and I remember in 2001 and we saw that happen. All that is wonderful, but we need to make sure we've got a whole lot more vision for our future than we do our past. Can you say amen? So I'm going to share some quick vision principles, and then I'm going to outlay the vision of Wave Church, not just, if you like, just for the next 12 months, but the vision of Wave Church and where we see ourselves going. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap about last year, because we do have a rear view mirror, amen, but our windshield is way bigger than that. Are you ready for this? What I'm about to teach you is some of the best teaching on vision you'll ever, ever hear. There's some things I think I've got, God's given me some tremendous insight on, and the ability to teach it. And I actually think vision's one of them. I believe in vision. And here's the first principle I want to give you. Vision saves others and yourselves. I've learned that when I live with vision for my life, it doesn't just save me. It doesn't just bless me. It blesses others. I love that story in Acts 27 when an angel appeared to Paul, and Paul was in a shipwreck, and everybody thought they were going to die. Everybody thought they were going to die, except Paul. An angel came to him and said, Paul, and he says, I'm an angel of the Lord, and I'm here to tell you, you will not die in this storm. You've got to roam. You've got to stand trial before Caesar, and listen what the angel said. God has graciously spared you and all the people that are with you. Why did God do that? Because Paul was in the boat. And God had a plan for Paul to get somewhere. And in that process of God saving Paul, that vision also saved many others. 276 other people were in the boat. I don't know about you, but vision doesn't just save you. It helps you reach others in Jesus' name. What does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Listen to the NIV. Where there is no revelation, sorry, King James, where there is no vision, people perish. And if we don't have vision for our lives, people perish. Not only do we perish, not only is the vision that God has for our life gone, but the people that God's called us to reach is gone. So we've got to have a vision for our lives. And the vision can't just be about ourselves. Number two, vision has restraints. What the Bible says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Well, then that's also true with vision. If you have a vision for your life, you put on the restraint. Amen? I remember 25 years ago, Sharon and I celebrated our 25th anniversary of pastoring Wave Church, and just last month, and I remember 25 years ago moving to Virginia Beach. I don't know if you guys heard about this 25 years ago. Some of you, I'm sure, will have. But there was, you know, talk about there was gold dust. Anybody hear about this? Coming out of the ceiling of the church up here in Richmond. I don't know what church it was in. I've got no idea. And there was people talking about in this church, people were getting gold fillings in their mouth and all sorts of supernatural phenomenons. And people down there at Virginia Beach going, we want to go up there to Richmond and we're going to go see if we can see the gold dust. And I'm thinking, well, that, I don't know whether God does do that. I know God could do that. But we're not chasing gold dust. We're chasing lost people who don't know Jesus. We're not chasing the signs and wonders. We're chasing the one who's the author of the signs and wonders. You see, every church has a vision. And without a vision, people cast off restraint. Wave Church exists for one reason. It's real simple. To get heaven to party. Amen. We are here to reach those who are lost and see them get saved, and we're here to help them discover their God-given destiny. So that may be the vision in some church somewhere else, but that's not the vision of Wave Church. And I'm here to say on a Vision Sunday, let's wear the restraint of the vision of what God's saying to Wave. Amen. Cast off, where there's no vision, cast off restraint. You got no vision for your health, eat whatever you want. Sharon and I were just in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is well known for its pastries and its bakery and its unbelievable desserts. And I got to tell you, you should have seen me resist such harsh temptation. But see, I got a vision, so I'm wearing the restraint of my vision. I don't want to eat that stuff anymore. I want to be healthier. Amen? So I'm wearing the restraint of my vision. I'm walking beside these pastry stores going, get thee behind me, Satan. I see you for what you are. No vision for your life? Spend as much money. Spend money before it comes in. Spend your whole life paying off debts and things. Because where there's vision, you wear the restraint of the vision. Amen? Do you know that 85% of the people who go to prison end up getting out of prison, going back to prison? And I was thinking, well, why would that be? Well, if your only vision is to get out of jail and you don't have a vision beyond that, what do you do when you get out of jail? You're going to go back to jail to fulfill the vision of getting out of jail. If your only vision is to lose 10 pounds, what do you do when you lose 10 pounds? You put it back on so you can fulfill the vision of losing 10 pounds. If your only vision is to get out of debt, what do you do when you get out of debt? You go back to debt so you can fulfill. We've got to have a vision, and we got to wear the restraints of the vision. And a vision has got to be bigger than, God, get me out of trouble. Amen. Just a few things I've learned about vision. Number three, vision is written down. I love this. Habakkuk chapter 2. Do you like, is that how you say it, Habakkuk, or do you say Habakkuk? Habakkuk. Okay. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets, that a herald may run with it. Though the revelation awaits for appointed time, it speaks to the end. Everybody say, it speaks to the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come, and it will not delay. Can I just say this? Anybody with a vision for your life, a God-given vision, is something that I believe should be written down. And it shouldn't be in a filing cabinet somewhere in your office, somewhere at home. It should be written on the tablet of your heart. It should be written down. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I wonder how many people here today have a written down vision for your life. And I mean it. You've actually committed to putting it in writing. Every year for the last, I think, 20 plus years, I've gone away every January at the beginning of a new year and sought God for the vision of Wave Church. What do you want to do this year in Wave Church? Lord, what is the vision? What is it? We know what the end in mind is, but Lord, what do you want us to do this year that can help move us toward that? And for 20 plus years, I've gone away 10 days. Well, this year was a little harder. Our granddaughter was in a a national cheerleading competition. By the way, her team came third. We were so proud of her. And Wave Cheer actually won first place in one of the ages. Matter of fact, just yesterday, Brody Altman, who is a young man at Wave Church in Virginia Beach, just won the state championship in wrestling. Isn't that amazing? The state of Virginia. A friend of mine called Stephen Furtick, his son, Graham Furtick, just won the North Carolina state championship. I'm telling you, we're winning. Praise the Lord. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool to get those two together and see them wrestle? By the way, Tommy Altman is the father of Brody Altman, and Tommy Altman is a Special Forces Air Force guy, and he's a fierce warrior. And you just see, I love that. What walks in the father runs in the family. Praise the Lord. I love it. But how many of us have a written down vision? Because every year, this year I went up to Charlotte. I didn't have as much time to get away as I normally would, so I took 5 days. I said to Sharon, I'm going to go somewhere where I won't get distracted. I'm going to go somewhere where I'm off the grid. And I was very successful. I went to a place called Misty Mountain Cabin. And it's in a mountain way out past Charlottesville. And I remember there was no TV working. There was no Wi-Fi working. When I got to this cabin, didn't bother me because TV was a potential distraction. Wi-Fi was a potential distraction. If there's no Wi-Fi, there's no phone, there's no signal, I'm good. Because I'm not there to get distracted with phone calls, emails, and TV. So this is good. I got no complaint about Misty Mountain's technology not working. However, do you remember when it snowed here in January? Well, at least it did out there. Did it snow here as well? And I'm telling you, it was 17 degrees, and it felt like 9 degrees. And that night, all I brought with me was my little sleeping bag. And the air conditioning kept turning off and breaking because it was so cold. And I sat in my sleeping bag and I shivered all night. I was comfortable inside the sleeping bag, but any piece of skin that was exposed to the outside in the cabin, I might add, was freezing. And I just put the sleeping bag over my head, but then I couldn't really breathe properly. So then I go, huh, and then my face would be numb cold. And I woke up the next morning, I rang Sharon, I said, honey, I know I want to get away and see God. I wanted to get off the grid, but I think I've done too good a job. The heating isn't working in the cabin. There's a window that won't shut properly. There's a cold breeze coming in, and I'm shivering. And I said, I'm going to go into Charlottesville, find a hotel. And Sharon goes, I don't blame you. Well, then after I hung the phone up from Sharon, I go to my devotional, my very first devotional that morning. And this is honestly devotional. Are you ready for this? Could you not come and meet me in the wilderness? Could you not set aside your own comfort and meet with me in the wilderness? I said, okay, God, I'll stay. And I froze to death for 5 days. It was awful, but it was great. And that's what I've done for the last 20 plus years. My whole life, I've done this, by the way. I've written down a vision of what it is that I want to see. And I mean every area of our married life, when we're raising kids, about my health, about our finances, about the church. I want to encourage you, you've got to have a vision that is written down. Amen? All right, number four, vision is plain. Listen to what the Bible says. Write the vision and make it what? Plain. So if you're still trying to explain to me what your vision is, and you're 30 minutes into this conversation, and I'm more confused now than when you started, I want to tell you, when you have a vision, it is plain, it is clear, it is easy to understand. Amen? Vision of Wave Church, get heaven to party. It's plain. It's clear. It's not complicated. It's not convoluted. It's not so deep and confusing that nobody could ever repeat it. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet been able to narrow down your vision into a single sentence, I want to encourage you to keep defining it and refining it. Because God says, write it down. Make it plain. Look at this. Vision is something you can run with so that the herald may run with it. You've got to have a vision. It's got to be something you can run with. Now, the vision has an end in mind. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So the elephant, that's the vision. We're going to eat the elephant. But what do we do today that's going to get us toward the vision of eating the elephant? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So vision is something that's not so far out there that all you can do is look about it and talk about it. But there's something that you can do today that's going to tangibly get you toward that vision. It's something you can run with. It's something you can get traction. I've been going to the gym for the last 2.5 years. My whole life I've been going to the gym on and off. A little bit more off than on over the course of my life. But I remember Josh Kicker and I actually went and got the same trainer for a while there. His name is Billy. He's a great, great trainer. He really was fantastic. And he said to me one day, and this is back in the days when I probably weighed, I think about 230 pounds. I've weighed more than that. I think the most I've ever weighed was 240 pounds. And I remember this guy said to me, I don't know if you remember this, but I'll never forget it. He looked at me and goes, you could weigh 180 pounds. And I looked at him. I said, buddy, I weighed that in high school. That's ridiculous. That is an impossibility. I could never see me ever weighing 180 pounds. And I remember he looked at me and said, if you had a vision for it, you could do it. And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't. And I didn't. I remember thinking, that's absurd. That's impossible. That's ridiculous. But can I tell you something? I've never forgotten what he said. And over the last 2.5 years, I just really began to write down my vision about my health. And I wanted to get sick. And I go to the gym. I go to the gym 4 days a week for 1 hour and 20 minutes. And I talk about this a lot because I want to just show you how vision works. And so I've had guys come up and say, Steve, I want to train you. And these guys are all bulked up. And I go, I don't want to look like you. I'm not trying to put on weight. I'm trying to lose weight. But I'm trying to get stronger as I do. My last doctor's report, an executive health evaluation, she said to me, Steve, you have gained at the age of 60, 3 pounds of muscle weight, and you've lost 5 pounds of body fat. She goes, for anyone to achieve any one of those things at this age, of your age, is nothing short of remarkable. And now I weigh 182 pounds. I got to tell you, I'll probably get to 180 by the time I'm done. My only last vice is sugar. And it's a hard one. Last night, I have to confess, with Kino and Megan, we went to Maggiano's and I had ice cream for dessert. I can't, that's my little demon. I play with that little demon. But I want to get you, there's something you can run with. This is what I did. I'll just start going to the gym. The thought of weighing that ever again, really honestly, was beyond my mind. But there was something I was able to do today to get me toward that vision. And I want to encourage you, just begin to take steps into your vision in Jesus' name. Can you be faithful with the little things? And God will entrust you over much. I want to encourage you. There's some things I've learned about vision. Not only that, but listen, vision is spoken. What does the Bible say? Write down the vision, make it plain, so the herald may run with it. What's the herald? The person speaking. And it says, for the vision, listen, speaks to the end. Amen? And I remember here in Wave Richmond, us speaking about we're going to find a building. And for 10 years, we were like the children of Israel, following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We had no permanent home, but I kept speaking, God, we're believing for a building. Here we are today in a building. And I'm still speaking, and vision still speaks. And I'm speaking for Richmond downtown. We'll find a home in Jesus' name. I'm speaking for all the... There's a couple of acres across this property. Oh, I'd love to buy it. Praise the Lord. If you want to write the check, you come and talk to us, and we will buy that property in Jesus' name. Amen? See, vision speaks. Come on. Faith, listen to this, is voice activated. Vision speaks. And the next thing I've learned, vision lingers. Listen to what the Bible says. Though it tarry, wait for it. though it linger, it will not delay. Don't you love the Bible? It says, though it linger, it will not delay. Don't you love the Bible? You're speaking, it's lingering, but it won't delay. Well, which is it? It's all of them. In other words, when you got a vision for your life, and I talk about Richmond downtown, it may linger, but it will not delay. It will come. When I talk about more and increase, I want to tell you, it may linger, it may delay, but it will come. We inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. I know some people, they got all the faith in the world for all these great things, but they have no patience and they give up on their vision. But then I know other people who've got all the patience in the world, but they've lost faith and they've lost their vision. But we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. They are the power twins. I'm preaching better than you're listening right now. Amen. Vision always has an end in mind. Somebody say amen to that. Vision always speaks to the end. There's an end in mind. There's, what do you know? How will you know when you got there? There's the end. That's what it'll look like in Jesus' name. You say, well, what's the end vision of Wave Church? Well, the end vision of Wave Church is to make our mark for God and to pass on a legacy to another generation to do something greater for God than we ever dreamt or imagined. And God can accomplish and fulfill even what He promised us and the vision that God has for us even after we're gone in Jesus' name. Number 9, vision is accomplishable. It can be done. Come on, it is something that can be done. God doesn't mock you and tease you. It's not like God's dangling a carrot on a stick and you can never grab it. Vision is something that can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Number 11, vision sees. Vision's able to see things. Look at Genesis 15. He, God, took Abraham outside. He said, look up at the sky. Look up at the sky. Sometimes you got to get outside. He took him outside. Get out of the four walls. Get out of the roof. Get out of the confines of where you are. Go outside and listen to what he said. Look up and look at the stars and the sky and count them if you can. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. Can I tell you, vision sees. What do you see? Oh, my wife, she'll never change. I'll never get out of debt. We'll never buy a house. Mm-hmm. You are a self-fulfilling prophecy. Amen. What do you see? I see God's goodness. I see God's glory. I see God's provision. I see the hand of God in Jesus' name. I see God working good in all things. Amen. Come on, somebody. Vision sees. And number 12, I love the number 11, rather. Vision is not at the mercy of dishonest men. I want to take you to a story about a great guy in the Bible. And listen to what it says here. This is a guy whose name is Jacob. Jacob was a schemer. He was a liar. He was a manipulator. He was deceitful. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of good things you could say about Jacob when you read his story about how he lied to his father and how he got in cohorts with his mother and they deceived his father. It's a terrible story. But I want to tell you, whenever you see somebody and you kind of think to yourself, God, it looks like they're getting away with it. They're a dishonest man. You just need to know, be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And all God had to do to bring Jacob to the end of himself was bring somebody even more deceitful and more manipulative into his life. Enter Laban, the father-in-law. And when you see somebody doing something that is clearly dishonest, illegal, immoral, unscriptural, and you kind of think, God, they seem to be getting away with it, you just need to know God will always bring a Laban, somebody who's more deceitful, more manipulative, and you just know God will judge it. Can I tell you, if you judge it, if I judge it, we're going to mess it up. So we just go, Lord, you judge that. Come on. So look what happens here. Jacob, so here's the story, Genesis 31. You know that I've worked for your father. This is speaking Jacob to his wife with all my strength. There's a great thought right there. Whatever job you have, do it with all your strength. Young people, I want to help you right now. The easiest way to be that little bit more successful, the easiest way to stand out in life today, young people, listen to me, is just be that little bit more resilient and that little bit more hardworking than everybody else around you. And I want to tell you, the bar has never been lower. If you want to stand out in today, and listen to what Jacob said, I worked for your father, my boss, with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. That's a bad boss right there, isn't it? And God has not allowed him to harm me. And if he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, speaking of livestock and animals, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked one will be your wages, then the flocks bore streaked young. Whatever he tried to do to rip Jacob off, God saw to it that he would give Jacob whatever this man said would happen. He would see to it. And Laban set it up that there wouldn't be any streaked flock. But somehow God worked it so there always was. God was providing, even though this man was deceitful and dishonorable. And look what it says. I love this. And he goes, in breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw a male goat mating with the flock streak that were streaked. And they were speckled or spotted. And the angel of the Lord said to me in the dream, I have answered, here I am. And I looked up and I saw that all the male goats were mating with the flock of the flock were streaked and speckled or spotted. For I've seen for what Laban has been doing to you. And I want to tell you, don't you ever feel like your vision is at the mercy of dishonest people. Whatever dishonest people try to do to you, I want to tell you, God's plan for your life is bigger than a deceitful person. And God will see to it that you won't be harmed. He will see to it that at the end of the day, come on. And I love this story because we can feel like we're the victim of some boss. We can feel like we're the victim of maybe, you know, if only I didn't marry this person, if only I went to that school, I'm the victim of my socioeconomic environment, and I'm the victim of this. I want to tell you, God has a plan for your life, and nothing and no one can stop it. This is what the Word says. What He opens, no man can shut. What He shuts, no man can open. He says, I have the keys of David. Come on. And I want to tell you, when God has put a God vision and He's birthed it inside of you, come hell or high water, if you hang on to God's plan and to His promise and you're faithful to His Word, it doesn't matter who comes along your path, He will see the vision done. Give the Lord a hand. Can I give you the Steve Kelly translation of that? How many would like the Steve Kelly translation of that? There will always be parasites and blood-sucking leeches that will try to attach to your vision and your success to get from you what they can't get for themselves. It's inevitable. But I want to tell you, God will bring it to pass. And number 12, and this is it now, I want to talk about what's happening in our future. Number 12, vision sees what's beyond in plain sight. Vision sees beyond what is in plain sight. Vision sees beyond what is in plain sight. What am I saying? Joshua chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were secured and they were securely barred because of the children of Israel. No one went in and no one came out. Look at that now. Jericho knew the Israelites were coming. They knew Joshua and the whole of Israel was on their way. We already know Jericho was a fortified city. Its walls were tall and wide and deep and impenetrable. This city had already built itself fortified. But when they heard Israel was coming, they really locked the city down. I mean, they went into lockdown. Why? Because of the children of Israel. No one went in. No one got out. And look what the Lord says in the very next verse. See, I've given you the city and the king and all the mighty men. What did the verse say before? It's shut up. No one in, no one out. Vision sees what God sees. It doesn't just see what you see in the natural, but God says, that's what you can see in plain sight, but can you see what I see? This city's yours. People say, oh, Richmond's hard. Richmond's got powers of darkness and demons and principalities. It's a hard city. I want to tell you, what I see is Richmond's open for the shaking and the glory of God. What I see is that every demon, doesn't matter, come hell or high water, we are here, the church, and the church is the hope of the world. Come on, somebody. I was listening to a prophet this morning on social media. I don't know what I was doing. I shouldn't have been on there. And this prophet's all prophesying there's going to come a great split in the church, and there's going to be this division, and it's going to be the church, and it's going to get all political, and people, the church is going to split left, right, and center. And I found myself at the Jefferson Hotel going, you're a false prophet. I do not receive what you're saying. I do not believe that this is the church's darkest hour. I believe this is the church's finest day. And as long as we keep the main thing, and that is preaching the gospel and not politicizing it for our political opinions. But the main thing is Christ crucified and salvation in the name of Jesus. He's our Father. He's not just my Father. He's not just your Father. He's our Father. And if you can't acknowledge your brother and your sister as being a brother in Christ, then he's not our Father. You've got a my Father mentality. He's our Father. Come on, somebody. He's the God of all people. He's the God of all nations. He's the God of all races. He's the God of all colors. God loves Republicans and God loves Democrats. So what do we do in 2023? I want to talk about it. Some of the great things. I think we got a graphic up here. Let's throw the graphic up there if we can. I always think when I say let's throw the graphic up, I think that's not a good phrase. Praise the Lord. Okay, so look here. This is what we did in Wetoto over here on the left. Because of what we did in Legacy. Do you know we do a legacy offering every month? Do you know how we do that every month? And we give beyond the four walls of Wave Church. But Legacy is how we fulfill the vision and the mission of Wave Church through our facilities and our buildings. And it's how we start new campuses. It's how we do everything we do. But it's also this. Because of our partnership with Wave, with Legacy, we're able to take care of mothers equipped to start their own businesses. Last year, through our partnership, listen to this, with Wetoto, 6,650 women were equipped to start new businesses. That's what we did last year. On top of that, we partnered with 69 schools and thousands of kids that were kept in school because of our partnership. Listen to this, 1,000 students in those schools graduated last year. Come on, somebody. And 1,600 babies were rescued just because of what we do with Legacy, with Wetoto. Look over here, with A21 right there in the middle, 110,000 minors were reached with awareness, prevention, and education. Let me tell you, that's a phenomenal, informative statistic of empowering young people, minors, to be aware of the dangers that are out there so they don't get trafficked. Listen to this, 1,497 frontline professionals were trained on the front line of working with anti-human trafficking. Listen to this one, 82 trafficking survivors came into care last year because of what we did with Wave Legacy and our partnership with A21. Look over here to the right. Convoy of Hope. Major focus last year and frankly this year with Africa Waits. 530,000 children in 34 countries are being fed weekly. There's a vision. 34,000 women and girls were empowered. 75 disasters responded to worldwide last year with Wave. I mean, 25,000 farmers were trained into sustainable practices. Do you know, we're not just trying to give people that phrase. We hear it a lot, and I think it's a good comment. We're not just trying to give people a hand up, a handout rather. We're trying to give them a hand up. These people are learning how to be self-sustaining in their own places. We're teaching them with scientists that are coming in doing soil analysis, training them how to grow crops and create a harvest for their own future. That's what Convoy Hope. Listen, 733 people online have made decisions for Christ. 100,000 plus people were reached through Wave Church online last year. 3,600 YouTube subscribers. These are people who subscribe to Wave and are watching our content on a regular basis. 2,400 Wave Online subscribers on our Wave Church app watching online on a weekly basis across 44 states and 28 countries. That's what we did last year. Corporate. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide up here, I think there it is. And these are great, right with Wave City Care. 350 meals were distributed for Thanksgiving. 15 families every month receive groceries. So we're not just 15 families in a year. That'd be easy. But every month we're there with them. Every single month we keep turning up with that. And look at this. 200, by the way, all this can increase. Amen. 382 kids were mentored through Shine Girl, Manpower, and Wave Cheer. 640 children, 1,280 gifts were given Christmas gifts that would never have got a Christmas gift if it wasn't for what we did with Wave City Care. I mean, come on, this is the big picture. Over 200 churches were empowered through Wave Collective. That's just what we've helped last year. 200 churches that are stronger, better and bolder because Wave Church exists. I think that's worth giving God praise for. This one here, this one is, we now have a baseline, but we want to see this increase. 419 baptisms. I think already this morning, was it six people got baptized today, Kina? All right, well, that number's climbing, and I'm going to believe God in Jesus' name. 3,241 decisions. Look at this statistic. 177 community groups with 2,346 people participating. I mean, God's been good to us, hasn't he, church? Amen. You saw Devoted. You saw, and by the way, girls, are you coming to Devoted? Sharon shared that video. I want to encourage you, girls, and I mean this with all my heart. If there is a genuine financial reason why you can't come to Devoted, we want that to go away. We want you to come. We want you to be there. We don't want you to say, genuinely, if there is a genuine reason, I mean, if you'd rather someone else pay for you, come on, let's be better than that. But if there's a genuine reason why you can't go, and it's financial, well, then I know there are people right here that would say, I'll make it happen for you. I'll cover that. Matter of fact, Joe Riddle, who lost his wife last year, he said to me, Steve, I've already got that in my budget to pay for Devoted. So if you know a woman who can't go, I will pay for her. I love that. There's somebody thinking outside of himself, thinking beyond his own sadness and heartache. And I want to encourage you today, if you'd like to sponsor someone, seriously, how much is it to go to Devoted right now? What's the cost of it? Anybody know? $70? Who? $170. I did think 70 sounded a little on the low end. Is it 170? Is that what it is right now? It is more affordable at certain times of the year. But right now, how many people would say, I could cover one of those registrations? I could cover, look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, look, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So there's 15 women. Now, if you raised your hand, please tell us who you are. Let us know out there, and we'll make sure. And if do we have women right now that are looking for a sponsorship? We do. We do have women. So I thank you. Give those people a hand. Isn't that amazing? Kina, come up here and talk to us about what's happened specifically. This is all Wave Church and all of our campuses. But right here, just real quick, give us an update, some of the cool things that's happened.
Yeah, across different areas this past year. 2023 was a banner year, you guys. There's some good reports around that, but just some highlights. In Wave Kids, last year we started a twice-a-month Wave Kids worship service. And so the future worship leaders of our church are being raised up in these days. Yeah, praise the Lord. In Royal Youth has never had a better... It was the biggest year for Royal Youth, biggest number of youth being a part of it. Decisions for Christ, but I even, you know, immeasurably, young people are coming to church with their Bibles. They are spreading the gospel, praise the Lord. They're starting Bible studies in their schools. It's awesome.
Yeah, man, that's amazing what's happening in the schools. It's incredible.
It really
future
is.
Leaders, they're not future leaders. They're today's leaders, and they're leading.
That's right. And with Wave City Care, we provide meals monthly for 25 veterans through Liberation Veteran Services. We saw 15 middle school girls go through Shine Girl. It's a mentorship program. The church is getting in the schools. We had on serve day 151 volunteers, multiple partners. One of the partners was on the VCU campus, and we actually had the president of VCU out there come to us and say, thank you, Wave Church, for being a beacon of light in the city. That's pretty awesome. Meals for 45 families, 65 children were provided gifts for the Angel Tree, and we had a man tearfully come up to our City Care team on that Angel Tree event and genuinely was said, I did not know how I was going to be able to bring Christmas presents for my kids. And then I got a call yesterday when it happened saying that Wave Church was coming, and he was thanking God for it, and he really counted it as a miracle.
Let me talk to that. We've actually seen it. We've been doing this. Actually, I don't know. I think it was Cheryl, Joe, that actually had this idea, was it? I think it was. I think it was Cheryl had the idea, let's actually buy gifts for people who couldn't get gifts. We've got people now that are grown up, children who were the recipients of those gifts, and they now come to Wave and say, because you gave me a gift, I would never have got one. Now I want to buy other children gifts. Is that it? All right, stay with me here. So the vision for 2024, I want to announce at the end of this, and it'll just be a couple more minutes if you stay with me, is what our theme for this year. Last year was taking new ground. How many people can honestly say somewhere you took new ground last year? Yeah, amen. And I want to encourage, because that's what we got to do. We got to run with the vision. We got to wear the restraint of the vision. Jesus spoke to 7 different churches in the book of Revelation. And every church, he had a different message. And we've got to find out what the message to Wave is. And then we wear the restraint of what that vision is. So I want to share with you at the end of this what the theme for 2024 is. And by the way, I'm doing this in every campus live. And so I did it in Great Neck already. I've done it in, where have I been? To where? Seaboard Road down in Virginia Beach already. I'm here today. Next week, I think I'm in Norfolk. And then the week after voted, I'm going to North Carolina. That's why we did a United combined day today, so I can actually have all our Richmond campuses together. Saves me doing another weekend away. So, all right, you ready, Kino? This is what we're going to do this year. We're going to continue to stay in Russia. And we are working in an orphanage in Russia, and we will stay in Russia. We are continue partnering with Africa. Africa awaits Wotodo and Convoy of Hope. More to come. We're going to continue to work and support Israel, the nation of Israel. Amen? And we're not getting caught up in all the politics. We're helping. There's a church, Christian church, called King of Kings Church. Richard Frieden is in alliance and partnership with that church, and we are doing a lot to help Israel continue to be, to help them and help all the humanitarian needs. We're going to continue with our Wave Collective helping churches. I just got back from Amsterdam, and I spoke to the major Pentecostal leaders in Europe. I flew in for 2 days, and I said, I will meet with you. The leaders of Pentecostal movements flew in to meet with Sharon and I, and we helped them, not just a local church, and even though that's incredible, it's the leaders of the major Pentecostal movements in Europe all flew in to meet with Sharon and I, and we helped train them, empower them, build relationship with them, and that's something we want to keep on doing right across the world. It's pretty exciting. We're going to continue with convo. I believe there's something yet to break open for our media and television. I thank God for all our online. We want to stay doing all that. But I'm speaking. You know how faith talks? Do you know how faith talks? I just feel like something's going to break open for us. I don't know what. I don't know where. But faith talks. Though it linger, wait for it. It will come. I'm just speaking to the end. Come on, somebody. So this year, Wave City Care, Keno, what do we want to see happen right here in Wave, Richmond?
Yeah, absolutely. With Wave City Care, like I talked about with the Liberation Veteran Services, we really want to see more of the church involved in that. Happens on the third Wednesday. So talk with Richard about getting plugged into that. We're going to start a Wave City Care community group this year. And so we've always found it's hard for people to kind of really get their feet wet in Wave City Care as on a consistent basis. So to speak to that, there are going to be an ongoing City Care community group for people to get plugged in. We're going to bring manpower into a new school through Richmond Public Schools Next Up program.
And we need volunteers for that, right?
100%.
And we're going, which is why we're telling you
about
this.
We're going to two schools with Shine. And so right now, we've only had two leaders as a part of our mentorship program. We need people who have a passion for mentoring young men, young women in the schools and getting their foot in the door. So if you want to be a part of that, talk with Richard Green. This is a new one. We're going to partner with a local food bank this year. And we also, our Thanksgiving and Angel Tree efforts, our generosity as a church is actually exceeding the scope that the school can actually identify as needing us. So we have more to offer than even who can be offered to. So this year we're looking to expand how we're being generous, including the schools, but even thinking more communally, thinking about reaching the areas near that that area where there's a lot more people in need. And so it's a result of your generosity. So kudos. It's a blessing.
So what we're saying is we need you. Come on, we're the Restrained Division. Sign up. Be a part of that mentoring program. Be a part of serving in God's house. Step up with the kids' ministry. Let's get involved. Let's not just go to church. Let's be the church. Cheryl, I just went to Dallas, Texas, and we saw a guy who owns, what's it called, Bobby B's? Bobby B's, Bobby something? Marty B's. I think it's the largest restaurant turnover in the whole state of Texas. You got to know Texas is a big state. And this guy every week serves in Fellowship Church. He has the most successful restaurant in the state of Texas. And I mean restaurants. He has 12 of them. And this man every Sunday is faithfully serving. And he's actually, we saw even Ed's hairdresser is actually in the parking lot directing traffic. We saw the owner of, what was the name of that, Campese's. And he's on the welcoming team. He's got one of the most iconic restaurants in the whole. And I just got inspired, Keno. I thought, we need to get more people serving. And not just say, hey, be successful in life. But come on, give back to the house of God. We need you.
Amen.
Give Keno a big hand.
Amen.
Come on. So I'm going to land the plane. This year, I'm going to be doing in the summer 8 weeks of discipleship training of men with community groups. We're going to be doing them campus specific. I'll be doing half of them through the screens, and Keno will be doing the other half, and we're working through a book. If we have that book, let's put it up there. This is the book. It's called The Way to Win. It is a phenomenal book, and I'm working with it right now with our building team. It's fantastic. I want to gather the men for 8 weeks, and I want to disciple you. I want to put you, now I want to encourage you to be in community groups, but for the summer months, we're going to take all the men together and we're going to work through this curriculum in every campus. And on top of that, with our youth across every campus, how many have heard of Ron Luce? Anybody heard of Ron Luce? Who's heard of Acquire the Fire, Teen Mania? This guy is an iconic youth guru of youth ministry, and he's written a curriculum. It's called The Pathway to Freedom, How Jesus Impacts Every Part of My Life. And I've met with Ron. We've been talking with him for the last 7 months, and we've just ordered, I think it's 500 books for our youth across all of our campuses. And we're going to, on behalf of Legacy, we're going to buy the very first book for the first semester. And we're going to take every young person in every community group through a discipleship program. We've looked at this curriculum. It's incredible. Amen. Thank you, Wave Legacy, for buying the first book. I'm believing the parents will buy the rest once they see the benefit of it. We're doing parent nights. I want you to write these dates down. If we have the graphic up there, we'll put it up there. But we're doing parent nights. Do we have the graphic? Okay. So these are the dates. May 29th. Don't have the graphic? Okay. August 28th and November the 6th. Write these down. Anybody who's a parent, grandparent. We're going to actually bring the parents in on the night of youth. And we're going to ask the parents not just to drop your kids off, but stay. And I want to inform you, educate you, equip you about what's going on in culture today. And I want to actually make sure that we are speaking to the parents about how we can be godly parents in an upside down, confused, and a broken world. Part of that is just knowing what's going on in culture and what are we dealing with and how do we raise our kids so they're not depressed, anxious, and broken and confused. Can you say amen? Education systems right across every area of what are the trends happening with young people, and it will be campus specific about what's happening in these different areas and how we can make a difference, how we can raise godly kids. So write those dates down. Sorry, I don't know what happened to that graphic. And then let me just say, the theme for the year is simply this. You ready for it? Because I got to finish. I've gone way over time. I apologize. How often do we get to get like this? But I'm going to land the plane now. You ready for this? The theme for 2024, and I went away and I sought God, and I wrote it down, putting God first. Now, God will always be first. He was first last year, and he'll be first next year. But the emphasis I want to bring to it is for this year. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Here's my thought. The very fact that you're here today, the first day of the week, you're putting God first. What you redeem, what you do with the first, redeems the rest. We're putting God first by going to church, giving God the first day of the week. And we're going to be regular, committed attenders of church. We're not going to be the casual Christian. We're not going to be the Christian that goes, well, I've got nothing better to do, I might go. We're not going to be that Christian that says, well, I'm in trouble, I better get to church. We're going to be people who are planted in the house of God. We're going to put God first. We're going to put him first with our tithe. We're going to put God first with the first day of the week. God demands to be first. Can you say amen? That's the theme. Matter of fact, our very first series we're going to teach this year at Wave Church is putting God first. Amen? Then the other series we're going to teach is on the book of Ephesians across all of our campuses. We're also going to teach the parables of Jesus in the summer months. And then we're also, God willing, pray with me about this one. Paul DeYoung has agreed to come and speak live here in our Wave Church for 3 Sundays. And we're just believing that his health will be good enough to come. So we got to pray for that. And he's all excited. I spoke to him last week. Steve, I'm coming. I can't wait. So they're the things that we're doing. My time is up. I didn't mean to go this long. Praise the Lord. I was thinking, how do you not have water baptisms? How do we shorten this? I knew what I wanted to share. It's Vision Sunday. And I want to make sure you took the time to hear what we've done, what we're going to do this year, and what our future looks like in Jesus' name.